Thank you for joining me for the latest installment of TV Madness with Makisha Madden Toby. I'm your host. It's March, which means we're 2 months away from wrapping up the 2015-2016 TV season. For some shows, anyway. Of course, there are series like The Walking Dead, which ends in its sixth season Sunday, April 3rd, while the miniseries The People vs. O.J. Simpson has two more thrilling episodes to go. And then there's Underground, which airs Wednesday nights on WGN and follows the exciting story of enslaved black people running away to freedom. Here to talk about the TV season thus far and shows like The Walking Dead, House of Cards, The People vs. O.J. Simpson, Underground, and more is my good friend and fellow TV critic Chuck Barney. Chuck is the TV critic for the Bay Area News Group, which includes the San Jose Mercury News and other publications. Follow him on Twitter at C-H-U-C-K-B-A-R-N-E-Y, Chuck Barney. Chuck, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. You know what's crazy? I'm surprised I haven't had you on here before because you're so awesome. You know what I mean? It's like a no-brainer.
I'm a loyal fan.
As am I of yours.
All right.
And you may have noticed I opened the show with a little bit of Tribe Called Quest. Shout out to
what you did there, yeah.
Fife, Fife, rest in peace.
Yeah,
I didn't even know he was sick. It's so sad. So let's enough of Fife. I'll talk about him later if you want to. Let's talk about The Walking Dead season 6.2. Do you love it or hate it or neither?
Well, can I be one of those annoying guys like kind of in the middle there?
Yeah, that's fine.
I still admire, you know, how showrunner Scott Gimple mm-hmm. is finding artful ways to approach episodes, mm-hmm. certain episodes. You know, I like how they've played with the structure and flashbacks and playing with time. And mm-hmm. I love the cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I at the same time, I'm getting the feeling that, oh, okay, this is getting a little repetitive, you know.
A little bit.
It's like how many... How many bad guys we got to face down? You know,
right.
We had the governor and Garrett, and now Negan's coming. And it's just getting a little repetitive, a little uneven. I don't know what you think.
And I see what you mean. I'm so addicted to the show that sometimes it's hard for me to step back and sort of look at it critically.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what you mean. I feel like part of the problem is because they're so beholden to some extent to the comic book.
Right.
You know, they have to like, okay, well, this is the, you know, issue where they, you know, and so they're like playing that, using it as the playbook. So I see some of that and it doesn't bother me, I guess, because I am aware of the comic book. But at the same time, you're right. They're a television show. They have the freedom of saying we don't have to study, you know, go by this.
Absolutely.
By the word. And I mean, you know. Line by line, so I know that they have those restraints, but I think that I'm hoping that after this season they'll loosen up a little bit more and take some more creative freedoms outside of the comic book. I mean, use that as a guide, but don't, you know.
Right,
you
right.
Know, yeah, I think that's part of the problem.
I want to know what's up with Carol. What's going on with her?
You see what I mean? And that's, I like that because, you know, that sort of one of those things that is a departure from the comics to or the,
oh, is it? Yeah,
a little bit.
I haven't read the comic book.
Right, a little bit, because you know, in the past, I mean, in the comic book at least, she had a relationship with Tyrese. Of course, that didn't happen. You know, in past seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert! If you've never watched, sorry. She killed Tyrese's girlfriend. Now
whoa.
Tyrese is dead. So, you know, they didn't explore her character in that way. But now to have her say, sort of all of a sudden, have a conscience. Or crisis of conscience, and this whole thing with Morgan like playing out in her head is just sort of like it happened too fast, or
right.
it's just weird. I don't know. and I used to like Morgan as a character, and I don't really like him anymore.
You don't like him?
No, I mean I like the actor, but just I don't know where they're going with this. And oh, by the way, there are only two episodes left.
right. I kind of have a little problem with how they've dealt with relationships in recent episodes, you know, it's all like getting ready for this whole Rick and Jesse thing, you know, and it's like, boom, all of a sudden that's
she's
done.
Dead. I know. Bye, Jesse.
and then now Rick and Michonne out of the blue, you know, it's like, I don't mind seeing them together, but that just seems so jarring and so sudden.
I didn't feel like it was jarring just because they've been playing it up, but I felt like the way they sort of had him quickly get over Jesse, like, oh, that was just a booty call, but you're the lady I love. Like, where are y'all going with this? That was weird, but like I said, I was, again, so eager to see them together, I kind of just shrugged it off, like, yeah. And now, though, it's weird because they did all of that and now nothing.
Right,
you know.
Right. I totally agree with that.
Obviously.
Like, okay, so is that a one-night stand, or are we going to see a little more, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're a couple now, but at the same time, you know, it's one of those weird contractual things, too, because I'm aware of, you know, having covered the show this long, I always look out for those episodes that Andrew Lincoln gets off. And when Andrew Lincoln has the episode off, you know what I mean? It's sort of like, I understand as the actor, but the character Rick, I want to know what happened with him and Michelle.
Yeah.
Like, you're completely gone straight to, like, okay, well, here's Abraham and Sasha. Like, oh, that's, again, awesome interracial couples, loving it.
Right.
But can we go back to the other two people that we were just talking about? So it's, they have some explaining to do and some stuff to straighten out, I guess, before the finale. But, and the finale is going to be 90 minutes. So.
Right.
Hopefully.
It'll be 90 minutes. Whoa.
Yeah, I know. And this is, and then that's when we're finally going to meet Negan.
And I know it was earlier in the sixth season, but I'm still a little mad about the whole handling of Glenn. And
I think a lot of people are. And I think it was reflected in the way that the when the show came back, that the ratings weren't as high as they thought they were going to be.
Right.
And I think in large part is because people were pissed about the Glenn thing. And it was just like they could have just handled that so much better. And then, again, spoiler alert, sorry, in the comic book, Negan is the one who kills Glenn. Did they save him just to have him die at Negan's hand? Like, it's just so many weird variables. I just hope they don't go there.
Spoiler alert.
I know, I'm sorry. I hate to ruin it for you. But that's what I'm saying. I'm hoping, especially in that instance, that it's one of those things that they don't go by, you know, line for line from the comic book. And I hope that they do stray away, because they owe us one. They can't kill Glenn now.
Yes, you're right.
They should have killed him before if that was the case. You know what I mean?
That was a total cheap trick.
It was a cheap trick. So, but this past week's episode was weird for me because, first of all, I felt like Denise, I knew something was going to happen to her. Actually, I thought it was going to either be her or Rosita. I know nothing can ever really happen to Daryl.
Right.
I mean, at least that's what I've said. Or I think a lot of people feel that way. So I knew it was going to be either Rosita or Denise. Somebody was going to get it on this run. But the whole setup of it was so weird. And then the arrow through the eye, I was like, and then she was still talking. And I'm like, sucks. But, I mean, I get it. It's just, did they have to kill her like that? And then I love that Eugene bit the guy's junk. That I never saw that coming. Again, people who read the comic book were like, that was in the book. I'm like, okay, well, I didn't still, even if it's in the comic book, I didn't think the actor himself would put his mouth in the region that he did on, and you just see his head and his teeth are clenched. I mean, it was... and his guns shooting and bullets flying around him. I mean, I just thought it was hilarious. What did you think of that, Chuck? Did it bother you at all? Or?
No, I had a good time with it.
Well, you have the genitalia, so I mean, as a man, I want to know.
It was a little,
what the hell, man?
It was a little weird.
Oh.
The whole thing with Eugene becoming a badass is a little weird, too.
A little bit. I thought it was hilarious that he tells Abraham, "I'm no longer in need of your services."
Yeah.
And then they're in this, a metal making company, some kind of forged, you know what I mean, some weird little place that they do metal works, right? And they're talking, and in the next shot, the perspective is from above. So I'm thinking, and I'm like, and I even said it out loud. My husband and I were watching it, and I'm like, is somebody in there? But they play with you like that on that show, and so you never really know. So I'm guessing those guys were in there, right? Is that how they got them?
Yeah.
Or whatever. And
yeah.
And then the whole thing with Abraham and Sasha, so they're a couple now, and then Rosita just, is she with Spencer? I mean, like, it was so sort of High School Musical how they just kind of, you know what I mean? Like, well, that's my boo now. Like, what? And,
and then you compare around and round we go.
You know what I mean? And then she
rotating.
Just, right. And then she just looks down and like, oh, well, you know. It's like, what does Rosita know? Like, it's just, what, you know, come on in my place. I'm like, what is going on with this? Maybe that's the thing. I think that the other part of it is, at times it feels like, are they trying to be a soap opera, or is it more? Are they more about the sci-fi, and then that soap opera shipping, as people call it, type aspect is just a sort of afterthought, and that's why it kind of comes across as an afterthought. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and it keeps hitting the beats of, okay, you know, the humans are the real monsters. We get that now. At least I do. You know?
Right. I think we all do.
Over and over. But, yeah, I mean, I still watch it.
Of course. I mean, there's nothing better that I want to watch on Sunday nights.
Right.
I just hope that in the next 2 weeks, with the last two episodes coming up, that they finish a lot stronger than it's felt the last, this last week, I think it was even. Because I like the Carol is a badass. She'll burn, you know, men alive.
Exactly.
Installment. This one, for me, was a little harder because Denise died. That's their only doctor.
Right.
You know, Abraham and Sasha are a couple now. And again, it's just Carol's gone. It's
Carol
just so many loose ends, it feels like, to tie up
right. In
two episodes. But that's why we love it or hate it or whatever. Love to hate it or love to whatever. So we can move on to Underground now.
Okay.
Yeah, Journey Smollett. You say the T's, right? Smollett Bell. I screw up their names. Aldis Hodge, Alano Miller, Amira Vaughn. Amazing. It's executive produced by John Legend. I mean, the cast alone is amazing. The story is one that we've never seen. It's just really well done. I'm curious to see the initial episode, the premiere, it did really well ratings-wise.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see if people stick with it. What do you think of Underground?
Well, you know, I love being surprised.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a TV critic, and you know this, we get so many screeners, and it's just like it becomes a blur after a while. And, you know, this thing came along, and it's like, like you said, it's something different. And I still thought, am I really going to enjoy this or watch it? I am hooked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely hooked. I mean, they really, I think when I watch this show, probably maybe more than any show, you know, I'm watching it, my heart is pounding,
mm-hmm.
I'm wincing. They really get the whole urgency, the fear, the rage, the desperation, you know, of what's going on.
I agree.
And it's just an amazing, and you learn something, too.
You do, because I guess I've never thought about it from that perspective of how escape, if you tried to escape, how that would look 2 years before the Civil War, you know.
Right.
So it's sort of like one of those things where you're aware, but or you know the history, but it's still really fascinating to see it on a human, personal, you know, individual
right.
level. So
it's hard to watch at times.
It is hard to watch.
I can't take my eyes off of it either.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in the pilot alone, you had a whipping.
Ugh.
Two whippings.
Yeah. Brutal.
A baby dies. It's like, you know, and it was crazy because I went to the premiere and there was a woman in the bathroom who was in all this pain and she had forgotten her breast pump. TMI, I know, but I need to tell you the story. So she's trying to, poor thing, is trying to express her milk in the bathroom because she forgot her pump.
Really?
And I saw her later and I was like, are you okay? You know, she was just like in so much pain because her breasts were engorged. Yeah. So she said it was the scene where the baby dies. And all of a sudden, she was overwhelmed with emotion and her instinct, like biologically, felt the need to like breastfeed.
Oh my.
So if that show make a woman at a screening want to breastfeed her, I mean, like, it's a visceral, you know what I mean? It's something so
absolutely
raw to this show. And I was curious when they talked about it. And when I finally saw it, I was so blown away. But I thought, are people ready for this on television?
Right, right.
Because this isn't 12 Years a Slave, which was, you know, 2 hours. This is over, 10 weeks?
Right.
So,
yeah. 12 Years a Slave, you get in and you get out.
You get in and you get out and you go home and hug everybody and cry.
Wow.
This is inspiring on one hand because you're like, you know, you would like to think that if you were in that position, you would try everything you could to escape. But then you also see the perspective of people who didn't. And as someone who was a descendant of that, my relatives didn't, for as far as I know.
Yeah.
From what I've done. They stayed where they were, and because there was more at stake. You know what I mean? So it's sort of one of those weird things because you're like, you know, I'm generalizing, but I guess the average white viewer is probably like, I hope my relative was the one who was trying to help these people.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
How would I act?
You know?
You can't, like, actually transform, you know, transfer your feelings
you
now
can't.
To then.
Right.
But, God, you would hope.
You know?
That my white relative
right.
been on the side.
We're on the right side of history. Right. And then as a black person, you're watching going, damn it, I hope my relative was one who tried to, you know what I mean, run away.
Right, right.
But the percentage of people who actually ran away successfully, of course, again, we don't know all the stories. I mean, even within my own family, I don't know all the stories, but it's like the people who tried to run away, you hope they got away, and you hope that the people who stayed had something to hold on to until the guy, you know, until it was over and something else came and replaced it. But anyway, that's, you know what I mean? Like, you just hope that they had something, so... It's getting a lot of people talking, and I hope that the conversation continues.
Yeah, absolutely.
As the show
You know, we've had a lot of talk in recent years about peak TV and how much television there is, and it's just too much and all this stuff, and that is so right in a lot of ways. But this is one of the benefits of peak TV. We're seeing stories that we probably never would have
seen
a few years ago. You know?
Right.
Just the range of stories. And to see the fact that someone did this, I just really admire that.
Me too.
And I hope it does well.
I hope so too. I hope so that it'll come back or that they'll tell another story. I mean, there are tons of stories. They don't even have to go back with these characters. They could just tell other stories from the Underground Railroad. So it's exciting stuff.
And it's sure better than Mercy Street.
Oh, my God. Okay. Come on. Mercy Street wasn't so bad. I like.
Okay. Uh-oh, we're going to brawl here.
Okay, now I got to know, why didn't you like Mercy
Street? No, I don't know. I don't really know enough about it. I didn't see enough about Mercy Street. I should back off that.
No, I mean, no, just to your point, people who didn't like it said it was too slow or too methodic or something like that. I liked it because it told us perspective, again, we don't normally see. It actually focuses on people who have run away, or slaves, or enslaved people who ran away, and now where they're settled in Virginia, there isn't slavery. They're also sort of showing, you know, what that meant as the war is going on, as the Civil War was going on, how did it feel? And if you weren't fighting in the war, the people who weren't in the war, what did they look like? How did they feel? What did they do? And
okay,
then...
you changed my mind.
Yay! There's this great episode. It was like, I was in tears, and there's a little boy, and he comes up with this woman. Her son has been shot during the war, and his leg needs to be amputated. She leaves the hospital, whichever was closest to the battleground, and decides, you know, her son turns out, you know, of course, played by the guy who played Ted on How I Met Your Mother, whose name is escaping me right now. Josh Radner, thank you. And he's like, okay, you know what? The doctors were right. We're going to have to amputate. In fact, you made it worse because he has an infection. So they show that side of it, which was fascinating. But what was even more, I think, telling was there's a scene where the mother, who owns slaves, comes up with her best boy male servant, right? Best male servant, this little boy who's like 12, 13 years old. And he starts talking to some other people who would run away. And they're like, you know, actually, you're in Virginia. You could just not go back with her. And there's this amazing scene where he's just like, really? Like, yeah, you know, and then they show him, I don't want to ruin it for you, but they show what he decides. Basically, it's good, so you know he runs away. But they show his decision and that sort of how it looked, how it felt in this moment where this little boy didn't know he even had that option. It was just so fascinating to me because, again, these are things we don't see.
Right.
You know, this isn't Roots. Yeah. This isn't 12 Years a Slave. And so what did it look like when people actually got away? You know, how did that feel? And especially if you're a little boy, barely out of being a little boy, you're a teenager. How, you know, it's just, I love it. You're right. It's kind of gummy in parts. But that scene is worth watching just for that.
Okay.
Okay. So let me know if you watch it.
Never disagree with a host.
What do you think of Empire, which is coming back March 30th?
Wow. I know a lot of people that, you know, haven't liked the second season as much, but I'm still hanging in there. You know, it's just, I think some of that is that the first season was so like fast moving and boom, 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 and so juicy and everything. It just had a lot to live up to.
It does. It's that sophomore slump and then some, right? And then it's really fascinating to me. I don't know if you watched The Passion,
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah.
Okay. Did you notice the promo they have for Empire during the Passion? I almost fell off my chair laughing.
No.
It was basically they set up Empire like it was. I mean, no offense to Tyler Perry, but like it was a Tyler Perry movie or something. It was like, they're family and they're just trying to. I mean, and then she's like, I'm going to pray for you, Andre. You know, I'm like, cookie praise. Like, it's just, it was so fascinating to me to see that they were trying to get that Passion audience.
Right.
Like, oh, hey, we also talk about prayer on Empire.
We mention God.
We mention God some, you know, like wink. And this one likes God a lot, you know, like the Andre character.
And Lucius thinks he's
Lucius God. Thinks he's God, but is he the devil? Like, you know, like, it's like, that's hilarious. I don't know where they're going with these promos. But I think it's going to be really fascinating to see how many people come back for it. It's also been gone for a long time. Maybe some people who were mad at them or weren't very impressed with this second season will have missed it so much they'll be back. I mean,
yeah, I'm interested in seeing what kind of ratings it gets.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, it's been away for a while. And
mm-hmm. What, like 3 months, 4 months?
Yeah.
Yeah.
People find other things to do.
You know, and it's interesting to me, too, that Underground has Jussie Smollett guest starring on this week and next week's episodes. In part because they were trying to tie it to Empire in hopes, this is a fascinating thing, in hopes that people will watch Empire at 9 and then turn over to Underground at 10. So, yeah, it's really interesting because I don't necessarily think of that as the same, being in the same audience, but I guess why not, you know?
You know, I used to love her on Friday Night Lights. That's where I think I first saw her.
Yeah. Too. See, I've loved her since Eve's Bayou. She was like a kid acting.
Yes,
she was
yes.
Like, 10 or, you know, 9 or 10 years old. Yeah, she's really good. And she's really a sweet person, if you've ever interviewed her, and very smart. As a family, I think, well, the two of them, at least, I don't really know about the other Smollett siblings, but the two of them are amazing. I thought
they got it together.
Yeah, I think they're very smart, and so it'll be fun to see, you know.
So you're looking forward to Empire?
I am, just because, you know, I miss Cookie. I miss my weekly Cookie, you know, like, quips. I need that in my life. I need her to say some crazy stuff.
We need Cookie. Come on, Cookie.
You know what I mean? I've had to watch, like, Real Housewives of Atlanta, the reunion, to get my fix until she's back. So, you know. I'll watch for her. I have to watch for her to see what she says.
She is a dynamo.
And does. Yes, she's hilarious. I'm glad she won. She won the Golden Globe for it.
So am I.
Yeah.
Like that. You know, she didn't get the Emmy, but she got the Golden Globe, so
right.
She got to get up there and do her thing.
Yeah, and she won, and it was hilarious. She came backstage giving us cookies. She was
she's
a delight. Yeah, I love her. I think she's awesome. She's so much fun. She's so much fun. House of Cards.
House of Cards.
I am like, I think I'm on episode 6.
Wow, you're a lagger.
I know. Are you done with it? Are you done with season 4?
I'm done with it. And that's funny because I'm not typically a binge guy because, as you know, we have so much to see.
So it's much.
Like, oh, I can't stay with this show too long because I got to move on to this other show. But somehow, over a weekend or 3 days, I got through it all. And it's,
wow.
It was.
Were you happy? Don't tell me anything, please.
I won't tell you.
But were you happy that you, with what you saw, with the finale, more importantly, or was it a satisfying conclusion?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is one of those shows that, you know, you find yourself rolling your eyes through a lot of times, but at the same time, it's just hooked. You know, it's just,
I know.
Okay, what's going on? And this is the season, I think, where, you know, this is the season of Claire. You know,
I love that.
I won't give away anything, but she just dominates. And, you know,
it's Shakespearean. It's how amazing of a villain she is.
Yes. She's just, you know, Robin Wright is just amazing in that role. And I was thinking this morning, you know, coming on the podcast, and thinking, oh, I got to talk about Claire. And you know, if there's anyone out there that could take on Trump, it would be Claire. You know,
if only.
Be able to kick his ass.
If only, sir. If only Hillary were Claire, right? I mean,
no,
like,
exactly.
Or maybe that would be bad, but but fun to watch. Yeah, I know. She's so good.
Yeah.
The way she was manipulating the vice president, though, I was just like, it was like a master class. I'm just sitting there like, what?
Oh yeah.
What?
Just twisting around the finger.
She's She's really, really good. She's going to get that Emmy. This year's Emmys, the nominations alone are just going to be, I mean.
Oh, it's going to be crazy.
Between The People versus O.J. Simpson, Underground, well, I don't know if that'll factor in, but we'll see. House of Cards, it's just Empire Game, well, again, we'll see. How to Get Away with Murder, all these shows, right? It's just, it's fascinating. It's a fun time to be in TV.
Absolutely. Maybe it's time to expand the categories a little bit.
A little bit, right? Yeah, right. Yeah. Knock on wood. So, speaking of People versus O.J. Simpson, did you get this? Because they sent us, what, 7 and 8? So, I guess this was 8 that aired last night.
Yeah, I'm through last night's episode.
Yeah.
And they've sent us one more. I haven't gotten to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, me neither. So that's episode 9.
Yeah.
So what did you think of this week's, which was all about, I thought, so fascinating, all about the jury and how they felt and what they went through, which we don't think people think about. I know I didn't.
Exactly. I know. I think that's one of the fun things about this whole show. You know, I think a lot of people going into it were saying, and I know myself, I questioned it. I said, like, are people really going to, you know, be hooked on this case that they know the end to already, and that was like 21 years ago or so, you know, and it's like, but this show has found ways to, like you say, the last night's episode of The Jury, show you things that you didn't know.
I know. And it's made me want to read the book. I have the book. I can't wait to crack it open next week when I'm on vacation. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Because it's just so fascinating. I think people forgot how fascinating this case was because we only saw it from one end or the one side or the other, right, to some extent.
Right.
And it's just the human, that human element, that jury, I think really, that episode really brought it home. Okay. And then I got to tell you this story. I got to know what you think. Okay. So there's this great scene where the jurors, they can't watch television, and Blockbuster sends them episodes of Seinfeld and Martin. And the black people are the majority, and they vote for Martin, and they get it. And the white jurors are rolling their eyes. I think there was like one black juror who wanted to see Seinfeld. And then they cut to O.J., in jail, playing cards with his friends for Skittles, which like all of this story. And he's talking about how awesome he thinks Michael Richards is as Kramer.
That scene alone,
I was just sitting there in my mind, like my mind exploded for a minute. I was just like, what? You know, like how brilliant. So subtle, so small, such
a
small
detail.
He's a white
black man, right?
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But I liked Seinfeld too.
I know.
And I liked Martin. So it was one of those things where you're like, well, where am I? Am I a juror or am I OJ? Like, I'm neither, but of course. But you know what I mean? It's like one of those hilarious moments where you're like, I'm still black and I like Martin and I like Seinfeld.
There you go.
How much of that defines what we watch on television? How much of that defines how black we are? You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those amazing, very subtle, hilarious things and details that you're just like, I love this show.
Well, I don't want to get off the subject, but as you know, I had a black female editor for a long time, and she would go back to visit her friends and stuff, and she would come back and say, you know, my family and that neighborhood is watching this and this. We got to get on to that show. You know, and it's like, okay. I'm with you.
But see, yeah, and these are the conversations I'm having with my editor now at Essence because we, you know, we cover all things black women, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't watch, quote, unquote, all things black women. So I don't watch Love and Hip Hop. And there was a hilarious conversation I had with my editor, and she's like, you need to watch this, and you need to, you know, somehow I wiggled out of it so far. Hopefully she's not listening to this.
There you go.
but she's like, you need to watch Love and Hip Hop and just kind of be up on it. And if anything happens worth, you know, if Twitter explodes based on something that happens in the show, it'd be good to write about it and kind of be aware of it. And I was like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll give you Real Housewives of Atlanta. That's about as, you know, ratchet as I can go. And when you start going into, like, you know, these really super, I think, niche black reality shows, you lose me. And I'm not, you know, it's just proof. Black people are not monolithic. We don't have a one show that we all watch, maybe other than Empire. And even all of us don't watch that one. You know what I mean? All black people don't like Tyler Perry. Some do. Some, you know, all black people don't like Spike Lee. Some do. It's just one of those weird things. And so when she said that, I was like, do I really?
really, you know, I know what Love and Hip Hop is. Do I really have to watch it? You know, I know what Tiny and T.I. or whatever, you know. I know I'm aware of these shows exist. I just have no desire to watch them. And it's one of those weird things. Am I doing an injustice or disservice to my readers if I don't write about it? Or, you know, will somebody else write about it? It's just, I don't know. It's so fascinating to see.
Right.
Yeah, but I loved it. I love that they went there. They went there and tapped into that Martin versus Seinfeld mindset. So. So there were a couple shows that we were going to talk about if we had time, and we have like a couple minutes. So I'm really behind on Better Call Saul, but you have been watching it. What do you think of season two?
I'm really liking this season.
Yeah.
And this is another one of those shows I don't want to keep repeating myself, but
what's wrong
with
that?
Do I really want to see, you know, a prequel to Breaking Bad? You know, here's just riding the coattails of this great show.
Mm-hmm.
But I've really been pulled into this. And I just saw an essay on Salon the other day, and it hit it right on the nose about how Jimmy McGill,
mm-hmm.
played by Bob Odenkirk, is kind of a new kind of anti-hero. You know, he's not the badass like Tony Soprano. He's kind of he's not the alpha male. He's kind of this pathetic guy, and he's just, you know, just regular guy and just trying to get by. It's just, and I don't know if you've seen any of it this season, but
I saw the first
like
one.
Following his relationship with Kim this
season
and his interaction with her.
You know, I think a couple things without even having finished season two, so I apologize. But this is, again, me speaking in general. I love Bob Odenkirk. I'm so excited that this is his show, that this is him showing and having his moment. Because we all know if we watched, you know, Mr. Show or Curb Your Enthusiasm, how hilarious he is, how smart he is. But to see him in this role is so much fun. And I really hope that more people, present company including, you know, get on season two and just follow the show to see where he's going with it, because I really think he's worthy of more. I mean, he got the nominations for Emmy, for Golden Globes, for SAG, but he didn't win. And it's one of those things where you're just like, why not? You know, so I'm hoping that maybe this will be the season people say, okay, now we need to give him the award.
There you go. Yes.
You know.
Yeah, and it's another one, you know, when you have, like, spinoffs or whatever, you know, you take this character who is just kind of a bit player in the other show, and you say, God, would I really want to follow that guy over a whole show? And the answer is yes.
Yes. No. Yes, please, more, please. You know, it's funny because, I mean, with the exception of Kelsey Grammer as
Frasier,
there's not a lot of shows where that even was a good idea. I mean, like, it worked.
Right.
You know, this whole world opened up with Frasier and for Kelsey Grammer, but I can't think. Joey was horrible as a spinoff.
Exactly. And I remember, I can't remember the name of it or anything, but they tried to do like some kind of spinoff with Rainn Wilson's character on The Office. Horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible.
And then, right. And then there was those two shows. They had like, I think, at least two shows that tried to spin off of from Three's Company that were really bad with the Ropers.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Like, so the comedy-wise or otherwise, it's just never, it's not always a great idea. And it's so rare that it actually works, that you actually like the spinoff as much as you like the original, if not more. I know people who've actually gotten into Better Call Saul first and then went back and watched the Breaking Bad. Yeah, watch Breaking Bad. So it's just, it's fascinating. I think it's just great. It's great for Bob Odenkirk. It's great for TV.
Yes,
I love him.
Absolutely.
I love him. And Blackish, which, I, you know, is sort of weird. Their episode about police brutality was so good. So good. I mean, I was in tears. It was hilarious because I went to pick up Zoe from school, and she's like, have you been crying? And I was like, I was watching the show. And she's just looking at me like, mommy's crazy. But, you know, it's just like, it's so good. Almost
powerful,
to the
so touching. You know, I remember at the end, I think I got a little misty-eyed too, and at the end
you
of that show, I like immediately jumped on social media because I wanted to talk about it.
Right.
And I wanted to hear what other people were saying about it.
Yeah, it is. I know. And the fascinating thing, though, is this: it was so good that then the next week or whatever, a couple weeks later, they had an episode about, you know, children playing sports and like how their parents try to live vicariously. And I was like, this is funny, but I'm sorry. I need that other episode. But I mean, it's not, that's the thing when a show does an episode like that.
Sort you of, want almost to go like a, back to that.
You know, and then nothing else can compare. It was that good.
Right.
That episode was so good that it's almost like the other episodes don't seem as good by comparison.
Well, incredible. They have found, you know, they don't do a whole lot of episodes like that. But, I mean, I've been a fan of Blackish since day one.
Me too.
On my top 10 list last year.
And mine.
Yeah. And, it's so rare that you find a sitcom, especially a family sitcom, with a voice these days.
Yeah.
And that one has it. And they just I love that cast. I love those
I
kids.
Love the cast. I love the writing. I love Kenya Barris. I think he's hilarious and very smart, very thoughtful. That episode was incredibly thoughtful. As,
right.
as was the N-word episode that they opened the season
with. Oh, absolutely.
With. You know, so I'm saying they're trying to figure that out. I think they're not the Cosby Show. They're not going to be the Cosby Show. But you know, there's a lot of wiggle room. What's going to be sort of bittersweet is, again, Empire comes back next week, and Blackish, I wish I could explain this to you, but Blackish loses half of its black audience to Empire. So I almost wish.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, so half of the audience for Blackish isn't black. It's like it's more like 50% black people watch Blackish, and then like probably like 50% white, I think they said. Wow. And so yeah, and that was they did the numbers and compared it. It was when Empire was going. It was you know up against Empire. So it's going to be really fascinating to see if those numbers dwindle or if enough people, like you said, have said I'm done with you, Empire, and I'm gonna. You know, defects over to Blackish and just watch that.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So a lot of really fascinating ratings things coming up
Have
in the next
couple weeks. Have you seen the Carmichael
show? I love the Carmichael show.
Yeah.
I love that Bill Cosby episode.
Oh, yeah. Talk about having a voice. That guy.
It was amazing. I mean, first of all, Gerard Carmichael, I liked his stand-up. I wasn't blown away by it, but I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, they got it right this time. This guy actually deserved a sitcom. And what he's doing with it is beyond like I'm just blown away. I love him, and it's great that he has a show. I loved Loretta Devine as his mom. I love David Alan Greer as his dad. It's just a really funny, smart show. This guy's not even 30.
I know it's not fair. It's not fair. The guy.
You're like, who are you?
Young and he's this good already.
And he's this good, and then you're like. You're thinking, where else are they going to go? What else can they do? I mean, it's just so smart. And it's I love that they went there. It was hilarious. When they were shooting it, they shot it back in, I want to say, like, November or December. It was a while ago. And they invited a few reporters to the taping. And it was one of those things where, like, you just saw this amazing thing. You can't talk to anybody about it.
Oh, man, I'm jealous. You got to go to that?
Yeah, and it was oh, my God, Chuck, the energy in that studio, like, wow. They shoot on the Fox lot. You've been to the Fox lot before,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so it's, like, right across from, like, The Simpsons. Or actually, it's right next to it, where they used and right across from where they used to shoot How I Met Your Mother. So it, just to put it in perspective, you realize this is a show. It's a business. This is NBC's, like, one of their last shots, right? At redeeming themselves in the sitcom business, and they did it. And I'm telling you, they nailed it with the show. And then it was hilarious because it was one of those disposable summer shows that was just supposed to just kind of go away into the night.
Exactly. Six episodes.
Bye-bye. They were burning them off really fast. And now look at it, you know? So kudos to them because I'm telling you, I never would have thought seeing his stand-up in the past that it was.
Really?
But now I see it. Like, you're like, oh, okay. You know, I get it. He's great.
Oh.
He's brilliant. Yeah, he's brilliant.
That's crazy.
I know. Speaking of brilliance, we can close the show out with Scandal, which is not brilliant, but Shonda Rhimes is. And we'll talk about Scandal. And then she has a new show called The Catch, which debuts tomorrow on ABC. And it's good. I don't know if you liked it. So I don't want to.
The Catch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you like
it? Yeah.
Right. Okay. Muriel Enos, amazing. Peter Krause, amazing. The two of them, amazing. The show, not amazing, but but they're the two of them. I was like, I could just watch them.
I know it's gonna be fun to see where they
it's
go.
It's gonna be
two,
fun, and
know?
I'm hoping Shonda needs to have some fun. Her brand needs fun.
Casting, you know, because she's coming off of The Missing, where she was really kind of like a sad, stoic, you know, I don't want to say, well, frumpy.
The Killing?
I don't know.
The Killing was
character,
great.
And that's like gets to show her sexy.
She was
side
so frumpy on that. And this one, she's glamorous. Her hair's done. I got a makeup on. I was like, who is this Mariel Enos?
Exactly.
Mind you, this is the same Mariel Enos who looked dowdy again on Big Love.
There
playing
you go,
twins.
Yeah.
So she can do dowdy like nobody's business to see
and
her pretty.
Peter is coming off of, like, you know, this family show where
I
he
know.
Was forthright father, you know, and just, you know. And now he gets to play this kind of sly con artist. And
I love him as that. They have they have great chemistry.
You know, shooting the bemused smile here and there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, yeah.
Do you think the people who watch Scandal, and we can talk a little bit about Scandal before I let you go, do you think the people who will watch, who are watching Scandal will stick around for the catch?
I don't know. That's going to be
interesting. Is it Shonda Brand?
It's kind of, you know,
right.
A very different kind of show.
It's a different show. It's not How to Get Away with Murder.
Yeah.
It's not Scandal.
Yeah.
It's fun, actually. It's light. It has some levity to it. And
yeah, it was interesting, you know, reading about how they changed showrunners and everything,
mm-hmm.
and how at first I guess it was going to be this kind of darker.
Right, because the woman who was the original showrunner was the woman from Hannibal.
Mm,
and
right.
they don't, she didn't do Hannibal with levity.
No, she didn't.
There was no levity in Hannibal. So I was like, whoa, this is going to be a dark show. And then she left because of, quote, creative differences.
It's light.
Right? Yeah.
Ocean's 11 type
you
thing.
You know, I love that. I do. It's like Ocean's 11 meets Out of Sight.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah,
with some, you know, some Shonda thrown in. I mean, she's an executive producer, so it's not, it doesn't have, she's not writing it, but
right.
it feels like, yeah, it fits within her brand. It's just interesting. It's going to be interesting to see her, you know,
mm-hmm.
that if people say, oh, I love Shonda, I'm going to watch this, or if they're just like, oh, what's this? I love Peter Krauser, or I love Mira Enos. Like, how many, like, entry, there are a lot of entry points for the show. What is that going to translate to when you look at the...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's worth watching, at least from the pilot. I really liked it.
Yeah, me too.
What do you think of Scandal? People are giving up on that show. I'm one of those people who was about to give up on that
are
show.
Are you giving up on it?
I'm trying to figure out where the hell they're going. Like, Jake is mean, and he's doing these things, and
the
president is a whore man now. Or he was a whore anyway, but now he has, like, booty calls.
Exactly.
I'm like, what? Where are they going with this? And Huck is beating up the wrong people. And
it moves so fast. It's like one of those shows. Well, Shonda does that a lot, but it's one of those shows that moves so fast and everything. Like, if you miss it a week or two, which I did recently. And
oh, no.
Come back to it, and it's like, what? The president is, like, bopping this, you know, so-and-so.
Right, he's a ladies' man now.
Olivia. And
he has an open for business sign on his pants.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, who is this president, Fitz? This is crazy. And, you know, Cyrus is about to go. And
I know. It's just, wow. It's just, what's going on here?
What is going on here? Oh, like, not about to go. He's been fired.
Right,
Cyrus has
right.
been fired and is on to another campaign. It's just, yeah. I don't think it's a bad thing. And again, there are only two episodes left, but I'm just trying to figure out, where are they going with this?
Now they brought that redneck guy back in last week or whatever.
He's a Trump-esque political
Trump
candidate.
Like, yeah.
I know. I'm like, okay, well, that's funny, but he tricked Melly. I mean, I was just like, wow. So Melly's supposed to be like Hillary. Right, Melly,
right.
See the L, hear the L's, and then this other guy, yeah, it's going to be, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly, he's a fearmonger like Trump is.
It's wild. Well, okay, I have a new,
uh-oh.
A new advertiser, and I am a liberated woman, and so I'm not going to be prude about it, but I have to plug my new advertiser, which is adamandeve.com.
All right.
They sell sex toys. So here we go. This is the script.
Do it.
Not yet. I'm going to, yeah. It's, let's see. Okay. So let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? This is not directed to you, Trump. This is what
is this the commercial?
Yes.
You're doing the commercial?
This is my commercial.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, adamandeve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Please. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code MADNESS, M-A-D-N-E-S-S, for my podcast, TV Madness with Makisha Madden Toby, MADNESS, M-A-D-N-E-S-S, at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out adamandeve.com today, select one item, and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping when you enter offer code M-A-D-N-E-S-S, MADNESS. That's M-A-D-N-E-S-S at adamandeve.com. And that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. I did it. That's I didn't think awesome. I could do it, Chuck. I didn't think I could do it.
You got through it.
I got through it. And they're awesome, and they write great checks. So that's adamandeve.com, and that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, Chuck, for doing the show. I had so much fun talking to you. Can you please do this again? I know you're a busy man, but I love having you on the show. I would love to have you come back. Come back? Okay. Yay! This is the part where we thank everybody for the show. Thank you, Chuck, for doing the show. Thank you, our sponsor, our new sponsor, adamandeve.com. NPR West, the amazing Leo, the sound engineer with all the cheer. He helps me sound better. He's awesome. Amazing. And you. Thanks for listening.